All right, Bible and Daily Lifers, here we are. We are going through the New Testament in a year. We've actually missed some weeks there. We went away and weren't able to do that. But we're back. We're back in the book of Acts. We're in chapter 2, moving through the book of Acts, the story of the church, the expanding church. Jesus ascends into heaven, pours out the Holy Spirit. Church begins to grow. These are the things that are happening. So this is the day that the Holy Spirit is poured out. It's called Pentecost. And Pentecost, of course, Pent, 5, like Pentagon, right? So 50 days after the Passover, after the resurrection, Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And all these people are gathered in Jerusalem. Let's see what happens when the Holy Spirit is poured out. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Well, Jesus had told them that they were to go into Jerusalem and to wait until they were clothed with power, that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. He said there were three relationships with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit will be in you. And then the Holy Spirit will be on you. When he comes on you, he'll come on you with power. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. So they're sitting probably in a prayer meeting or something. It says it's the sound like. Now, it's not a mighty rushing wind, but it sounds like a mighty rushing wind, something going on. And they're as perplexed as anyone else, really. Verse 3, they saw what seemed to be, looked like tongues of fire that separated, cloven, cut in two, right, looked like a flame. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. So the Holy Spirit's coming on all of them that are there gathered. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Languages, glossolalia. They were speaking in languages. Now we're going to see in a moment that as they're speaking in these languages that they hadn't learned, that they're declaring the glorious works of God. Maybe something like you might hear in a psalm. Lord, you are the creator, the maker of heaven and earth. All things are yours, the stars and the moon and the sun and the clouds, all created by you. So however it is that they're praising God, they're speaking of God's glorious works. We'll see that in a moment. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. So that word nation, the Greek word is ethnos, so it's people that have come from everywhere. Tribes, peoples, people groups. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, wondering what's going on, hearing something's going on. What is that? What's the sound? So everybody gathers together. It kind of, you know, what happens, you see these scenes where there's maybe an accident and people gather together, or there's a fire and people gather together. And so there's this sound and the people are gathering together and see what's going on. They came together and each one of them heard them speaking in their own language. Miracle. Languages that they hadn't learned, and yet these people from everywhere who speak other languages. Now, they probably speak several languages in their home language, the language of their heart. And, of course, Aramaic would have been the language of business, so they probably spoke that, and many of them probably speak Hebrew. So probably trilingual. Hebrew people, Aramaic, a common language of business and commerce, and then whatever the heart language was that they would speak in home. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all of those who are speaking Galileans? Well, most of these people had come from the region of the Galilee, and they're like amazed. How did they learn our language? Then how is it each of us hears in our own language? Now watch who's here. This is the makeup of the kingdom, and you're going to see three major gaps that are affected, three major people groups that are affected. You see, up to this time, it was the Hebrew people, it was the Jewish people that, you know, were in relationship, covenant relationship with God. Now that Jesus is pouring out the Holy Spirit, now that the veil has been torn, it's open to everyone. Well, let's see who's there in Jerusalem. The Gentiles. Gentile just means non-Jew. Parthians, Medes. Well, who are the Medes? The Medes are, the Medes and the Persians would be modern-day Iran. So the Iranians are there. Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, you may remember that in your history, you learn that history begins in Mesopotamia, the Tigris-Euphrates Valley. And so there in the Tigris-Euphrates Valley, that today that's Iraq. So the Iraqis are there. The Iranians are there. The Iraqis are there. Judea, that would have been the Jewish people. Cappadocia, that sounds to me like something you would order for dessert. I'll have the Cappadocia. Pontus in Asia. So you have the Iranians there, you have the Iraqis there, and you have Asians there. Asian people are gathered together. Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, well, that's northern Africa. So Iranians, Iraqis, Asians, Africans, North Africans, parts of Libya. Well, that's Africa near Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, that's Europe. Both Jews and converts to Judaism. Cretans and Arabs. Well, what makes a person an Arab? That they speak Arabic. So they're all there. The Arabs are there. The Jewish people are there. The Iraqis are there. The Iranians are there. The Asians are there. The Europeans are there. Everybody's there. This is for everyone. And it's being opened up for all peoples. And we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. That's why we said this language is, that they were hearing were the wonderful works of God. Again, they were perplexed and they asked one another, what does this mean? And some made fun of them and they said, they've had too much wine there. They're just drunk. Well, so there you have the Gentile gap breaking down. Now watch this next one. Then Peter stood up with the 11 and he raised his voice and addressed the crowd. He's full of the Holy Spirit now. He's going to give a message. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you, listen carefully what you see, to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose, it's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. So you have this spiritual phenomena, and Peter is going to say this is that. He's going to explain it from the scripture. This is that, which was spoken of by Joel. Well, what did Joel say? Joel said in the last days, because he's a prophet in the Old Testament, right? So, you know, we're going back some 600 years or so here, right? So in these last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. So there again, it's for everyone, the breaking down of the Gentile gap. This is for everyone. Now, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Well, that's the breaking down of the gender gap, because in first century Judaism, women wouldn't have been prophesying and speaking forth the word of God. But now the Holy Spirit comes on men and women, and women can speak and share and preach and, you know, do everything else that, you know, anybody can do. So your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. So for me, I'm the old man. I'm dreaming dreams. I'm still dreaming, still seeing things. So there you have the generation gap is broken down. And so the Gentile gap, the gender gap, and the generation gaps. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they'll prophesy, men and women. It goes on, and he ends up speaking to them in verse 22. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which he did among you, as you yourselves know. So these people had been pre-evangelized because they had seen Jesus do miracles. You know, Jesus restored an ear and gave sight to the blind. You know, they knew all of that. And they said, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate path and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing on a cross. So the death of Jesus. But the death of Jesus isn't the end of the gospel account. The gospel account tells us that Jesus died, but he rose from the dead. And it's the rising from the dead that completes the gospel. Because if he was dead, then he'd be quite a hero and a great ethical model. But he's risen from the dead and ascended into heaven forever and ever, where he rules. He is, in fact, God. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to hold him. The resurrection. David said to him, the psalmist, back in the Psalms, I saw the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I won't be shaken. Therefore, my heart's glad. My tongue rejoices. My body will rest in hope. These bodies have hope still. because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. Again, just all of these ways of talking about the resurrection. And he says, I tell you confidently that David here, his tomb is here, but Jesus has risen from the dead. when the people had heard this in verse 37, they said, they were cut to the heart and they said, you know, what must we do? And Peter said, repent, change your mind and be baptized and you'll be saved, every one of you. This promise is for you and for your children. Why did he include your children? Because when Pilate said, what do you want me to do with Jesus? They said, kill him. And they said that his blood will be on our heads and on the heads of our children. Here, Peter's opening it up for not only them, but for their children, for all peoples everywhere. So there you have the day of Pentecost. You'll have to go on and read a little bit more. There's some amazing stuff going on there. But Bible and Daily Life. So bless you guys. Peace, peace, peace. You are loved by God. You are loved by God. Read the rest of Acts 2. When you get to Acts 42 through 47, you'll find the practice of the early church. What happened with the new believers? How did they do church? How did they live? Hey, bless you guys. Love you.